Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, November the 8th, day number 313 of 2012. Isn't that amazing? We were focusing so much on the election, and here we are 2 days after the election. Tonight, we're going to catch up with Leslie Eastman and Dawn Wildman and another friend of Leslie who's going to be joining us tonight. We're going to talk about California. We're going to talk about the election. Now, we're not going to do a lot of crying. I think we've done that already. I'm beyond that right now. I'm just looking to the future, but obviously what happened on Tuesday night did hurt, but we're not going to sit here and cry about it all night long. We're done with that. We're looking to the future tonight. Leslie Eastman, the goddess of capitalism, is going to be joining us tonight. Dawn Wildman, who is, we've had her on the show several times. She's with the San Diego Tea Party. She's also going to be joining us tonight. So we're going to get started, and we're going to hear from our sponsor for the first segment tonight, my good friend Leonard from Avalon Professional Translation.
Sending the right message in multiple languages is easy with Avalon Professional Translation Services. Avalon provides document and web translation in 62 languages. In addition, access to 140 languages is just a phone call away any day of the year. Events, even court depositions, no problem for Avalon. Call 972-404-1213 or go to avalontranslation.com. Avalon Professional Translation Services, global communications made easy.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and we have a link to the Avalon Professional Translation website on the show information. You click on that, and that'll take you to my good friend Leonard Shulkoff, and tell Leonard that Leslie said hello. How is that, Leslie, for a introduction of Leslie Eastman? How are you, Leslie?
Well, Silvio, I just want to say I'm going to welcome our new status overlords.
Yes, yes,
absolutely. Don't you feel the hope and change just surging everywhere? And we're all going to get a unicorn and a Chevy Volt that's going to run perfectly and not ignite. And everybody will love us. And the Iranians are going to roll over and declare peace and give up all their nuclear weapons.
I feel it.
If you tell me,
I feel it. I mean, I feel it 100%. I know the goddess of capitalism is going to bring love to the world.
I think I'm going to have to change my title. I've got to embrace this fully. I'm going to have to now become the divinity of socialism. Nah, I don't think so.
No, I don't like that, Leslie. You drop that right away or you're not coming back.
No,
we disconnect from you right away. If you say, you are and will always be the goddess of capitalism. I don't care what happens on Tuesday night. I mean, in all fairness, it was a very rough night. I have to tell you that when I sat down to watch the results at 6 p.m. Central Time, I was 100% convinced that Mitt Romney was going to win. And it didn't happen for lots of reasons that, we're going to get into a little bit of that tonight. But I've gotten over it now, and I'm looking ahead. I'm looking to do whatever we can to check President Obama. I actually think we may get lucky here because there's some economic problems down the road that may make life very difficult for President Obama. But anyway, Leslie, the goddess of capitalism is always welcomed on our show.
Well, thank you very much. And I must admit, I think this is the difference between independents and conservatives versus leftists and progressives, that if they had lost, they would have accused Americans of being stupid and blamed everybody else but themselves. And whereas independents and conservatives are taking a look at the campaign and figuring out where the problems were, and I also really hope that there's a change in the GOP elite structure, which I think was a contributing factor, and hopefully in 2014 we can shake things up and turn things around, and hopefully the country's in good enough shape to sustain another 2 years of Obama's follies.
No, I think so. I think you're right, and I think you're going to see the Tea Party get very active again next year. I think if there's a what's the expression? I forgot what the expression was, but if there's a benefit out of all of this, and I always do like to look at the good side of things. I think you're going to see the Tea Party energized. I don't see anybody quitting on our side. I mean, some people have gotten very depressed, but I think they'll get over it. And they'll be back ready to put on the uniform and do battle. But we got some on this day in history tonight, Leslie, before we bring in our dear friend Dawn Wallman. But I've got a couple here for you. Maybe you've got one for me. But 1864, President Lincoln was reelected on a day like this, November 8th, as long as we're talking about presidential elections. 1960, John F. Kennedy was elected. And here, you know, we were talking about changing things and turning things around. It was on this day in 1994 that the Gingrich Republican Revolution happened. So, you know, things can happen. Maybe there's another big revolution down the road that we can look forward to because it did happen on this day in history back in 1994, Leslie.
We are going to definitely, I think the Tea Party is already evolving. We have people going in on the grassroots level. People are going to reevaluate what they did this time. And I think when it all shakes out, there's going to be a lot more energy directed at preventing voter fraud. Because I think we're going to discover there was a whole lot of suspicious activity, especially in the Pennsylvania areas. And
right.
It's very concerning that our military ballots didn't make it in on time.
Right.
So, if the elite Republicans in Washington, D.C. really want to do something to help themselves, perhaps they should take a look at new issues like that.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the bottom line is 120 million people voted. 120 million people voted. 60 million voted for Barack Obama, who actually got 10 million less or 9 million less votes than he did the last time, and then 58 million voted for Mitt Romney, who incredibly got 3 million votes less than John McCain. That I cannot understand. I don't know what happened to those 3 million people. I don't know what they were thinking, but it could have been the difference between victory and defeat. But I forgot to say something, Leslie. Our show tonight is being featured. I forgot to say that, so we want to say hello to the Good Luck Charm, because this is a feature. Our show will be on the front page tomorrow for the whole day, so we'll have a lot of new listeners tomorrow that will be introduced to the goddess of capitalism. So thank you.
That's thrilling, because I think you and I, we've talked about Thursday programming, and I think people are going to need a bit of a break from politics, so we are going to mix it up with some non-political topics, as well as keeping our fingertips on the heartbeat of current events. So
absolutely, and in fact, that was always my idea, after the election, win or lose, after the election, that we would go in some very creative directions on Thursday night. And I do have to say one thing to the audience, and I know Dawn is waiting. Dawn, please bear with me. And we're going to bring her in. We're going to bring Dawn in. Come on. Let's bring her in, because we love her so much. How are you, Dawn?
I'm doing well. How are you, Sylvia?
Are you enjoying this little back and forth here between Leslie and me?
Yes, I find it extremely entertaining.
All right. Well, then sit back and get entertained just a little bit more.
Good.
Because I'm going to talk a little bit about a show that we're going to have down the road here. I think I told you this, Leslie, but there is an amazing couple from Argentina, Georgina and Oscar. And they're married, and they have a beautiful child, and they're one of the best known tango dancing couples in the world. I mean, these people do tours of the world, and I've made contact with them. And they've agreed to be on the show, Leslie. So sometime here in the next month or so, we're going to line them up, and they're going to join us. They speak English, so that's not going to be an issue. And they're going to tell us about the tango, and they're going to tell us about the history of it and how they got. I mean, they're a lovely couple, beautiful dancers, a very good-looking couple, too. So that's a show coming up. How's that, Leslie?
Yeah, that sounds great, because like I said, one of the fun things about your show is all this wonderful world music and dance I get exposed to. being into world music and dance myself. So I think it's just, you know, it'll lift our spirits and energize us for apparently the next 2 years.
That's right. No, we got to get ourselves up, but we don't want to get down.
No.
It was a rough night. I'll be the first one to admit that I didn't sleep well. But, you know, that's behind us now. We got to think about the future. Now, I do want to talk to both of you ladies tonight about California and some of the things that happened out there. You obviously know more about it than I do. There's a fantastic article or editorial today in the Wall Street Journal about California and raising taxes on the rich and all of that. Very interesting article. But I've got an idea that I want to share. Now, I understand there's another person joining us tonight, Leslie. Is that right?
I don't know if Sarah is going to join us or not. She mentioned she might try.
Okay, all right.
So we'll see if she calls in. Great. If not, you know, I think she's putting her kids to bed. In fact, I just got a note for her. So the little boy does not go down easily, so she'll
join. Okay, well, we got time. You know, tell her we have easily about 50 minutes. So we have time to bring her in later. But I wanted to run this idea by both of you. And I know, Dawn, you're very politically smart, so this is an idea that I mentioned to Leslie. You know, we have an electoral college, and I don't have a problem with that. I think it's a good idea. But I think we should change the electoral college. Instead of, let's say, California giving Obama 55 electoral votes, we should do it by congressional district. So if you win a district, you get one vote. And that way, I think that, you know, people like yourselves in San Diego, I'm assuming that Romney probably won your district because I see red over San Diego on the map.
Yep.
You would have at least gotten one electoral vote out of this instead
exactly.
of zero.
Exactly. Well, you know, the interesting thing about all this is that for the first time in a long time, people are talking about the Electoral College again, and most people don't realize that there was a big push started a few years ago to get the states to get rid of the Electoral College, and actually California voted that they thought that was a great idea, that everything should be by popular vote. And considering everything's by fiat in California means the Democrats get their own way. Of course they would love that. So,
right.
So I just think it's really interesting that more and more people are talking about it now and trying to understand how it works, why we have it. There's also a little bit of fear from myself about the idea of more and more people feeling apathetic that why should I bother voting if this is already predetermined by some elusive voter somewhere that gets to decide where those 55 votes go.
That's a very good point. But the other reason that I think we should do the congressional districts, and by the way, I had this idea before the election. This is not something that started with the election. In fact, I've had this idea for almost 15 years, and it was not my original idea. I picked it up from somebody else. But if you go back to 2000, in 2000, the final Electoral College vote was 271-267. So the Electoral College and the popular vote were fairly similar, okay? And in 2004, it was 286, 242 or something. So, again, not too far from where the popular vote was. But this time, it was 303, because we're still waiting for Florida, but 303 versus 203, well, that's overstating, really, the popular vote that was basically less than 1 point. So I just think that doing it by congressional districts, I mean, Romney would have probably won this election if this had been by congressional districts. I look at that map of California, ladies. I see a lot of red. I mean, when you get away from the coast, there's a lot of red there. I don't know how many districts they have there, but that's a lot of red.
Another point I'd like to make, Silvio,
sure,
is if we had this, if our congressional districts were numbered according to the same formula they had back in the Founding Fathers' days, we'd have 1,000 congressmen. Our congressmen are disproportionately more powerful, and so part of the component of that should be revising the number and location of the districts to further even it out and make it truly a representative government.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I didn't realize that, because I wonder how long we've had. Does anybody know how long we've had 435 representatives?
That's something I'd have to Google search. So, well,
yeah,
I'll try and locate that data.
No, but I mean, if you have 400, I mean, if you just think about it, if you have 100 million people and 435 districts, That's different than 300 million people in 435 districts.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? I mean, that's
yeah.
much bigger. But I just think it's an idea, Dawn, that we may want to consider, not necessarily do away with the Electoral College, because that will take amendments, and that would probably take an eternity, but maybe amend it a little bit by congressional districts. Instead of Obama winning 55 votes in California, maybe he would have won 30 or 35. I don't know. But it would have been a little bit more representative, people like you in San Diego, and would have had more vote. Now, the Democrats in Texas probably feel the same way, because, you know, Romney got all 38 of our electoral votes, but yet there were parts of Texas like El Paso and part of Dallas and part of San Antonio where the Democrats won, and they got no electoral vote out of it. So.
But haven't you wondered, though, because the more talk there has been over the last 2 days about the Electoral College, the more I've thought about this, if really either side thought, you know, there was an absolute need to change this, don't you think they would have by now? For goodness sake, they changed the way, you know, senators are picked. So I think that somewhere in the back of both major political parties' minds, they liked the status quo, and it's obviously working for them, or they would have done something to change it.
Well, you may be right. I know that in the 1980s and into the 1990s, the Electoral College was very pro-Republican. I mean, the Republicans had a real lock on the Electoral College. Now it's the other way around, because now you have a Democrat the Democrats have almost 100 to 120 votes locked up. I mean, they don't even have to compete. They get them. So that makes it a lot more difficult for the Republican Party now to compete with the Democrat Party. So, you know, this stuff goes back and forth. But I'm not so much thinking about party. I'm thinking about the citizens, Dawn, that, you know, I look at the map of I look at California, and you guys are down in San Diego, and you got nothing out of this election, and yet you voted. You got nothing out of it.
Well, I'm not, in fact, a Republican, so I got even less than nothing.
well, all right. Okay, that's a good point.
But the interesting thing is, and I think this is probably why it hasn't changed, is that, first of all, you'd have to get everybody to understand what the Electoral College is and what they do and why they exist. And for the most part, I think if you asked John Q. Public, he would tell you he had no clue. So,
well, he would ask you where the college is.
Yes, right, and who graduated from it.
Right, do they have a football team at the Electoral College, you know? No, but I think I'll tell you one thing, it would help independents.
Well, and I got to tell you, too, I don't feel bad right now for D.C. politics. When I look at the California Senate and we only have 6 Republicans versus 33 Democrats, or I look at the California Assembly with 28 Republicans and 52 Democrats and only 16 congressional seats that are Republican from the state of California, you know, it's really hard to feel sorry for anybody else other than
right.
us.
No, I agree. But the one last point on the Electoral College, doing it by congressional districts, you would actually, it would be a lot easier for a third party or an independent to be elected that way, because then he could win enough districts where he could actually be competitive. You go back to 1992 when Ross Perot ran, he got 19% of the popular vote. One out of every 5 votes went to Ross Perot. He got 0 Electoral College votes. So, you know, the people who voted for Ross Perot got nothing, absolutely nothing. And he got 1 out of every 5 votes, almost 20%.
Well, but and then it comes down to the whole thing, because this was an argument before, during, and now after the election, which is, you know, if your guy, be it that for a lot of people that was either Ron Paul or Gary Johnson, isn't in the quote-unquote running, and people are voting for them anyway, you know, that started in the conservative community. That started quite an uproar, because people didn't understand why you would quote unquote throw away the vote. So I'm not sure there's ever going to be any system in the United States that everybody agrees
right.
with or thinks is great all the time. I think that inevitably one of the biggest problems we have in this country is not being able to understand that there are winners and there are losers. And that's just the way the world really works. If you're not gold starring the whole world. That's how the world works. And at
right.
some point, somebody is going to be, at the end of the day, is going to lose and somebody's going to win. And, you know, unless people really decide to get in there and look at how the process and the system actually works, I don't think anything's going to change.
Right. No, you're exactly
right.
But I
love your idea, by the way. I think that's fantastic.
Well,
it's more fair.
Well, I think so. I think it would give the districts a little bit more power. Now, of course, I'm lucky because I'm in a state that, you know, a red state and a red district. But with you, you're in a red district in a blue state. So I think that you would have had a little
bit
more.
Now you're just bragging.
Yeah, you know, have some pity on us, Silvio.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, in fact,
you're in pain, just imagine how we feel out in California. I mean,
it's not enough that we sent you all of our jobs.
Right, and all these license plates that we see.
And apparently, we're going to be sending you even more jobs.
Well,
yes.
that's what I fear, and it's one of the reasons I like you, the ladies, to talk about what happened there on Tuesday, because there are a lot of state issues. But you know, Leslie, we should give Dawn a really nice introduction here, because I you know, some of the listeners may not remember who she is. So I know you're very good at introductions, Leslie. So why don't you give Dawn one of your A-plus introductions?
Well, you know, I would like to definitely, you know, say what a thrill it is to have Dawn Wildman on, who's the president of the SoCal Tax Revolt Coalition and one of the California coordinators. I think she also is still coordinating the people in other states for various Tea Party groups. A dynamic individual with a photographic memory for details on regulation, policy, and politics. And she helped, well, basically she was the one who set up the original San Diego Tea Party, and after a series of emails and you know, tweets, I managed to track her down and joined the group as the media director. And the third person who's kind of joined us is going to be our fellow co-founder, Sarah Bond, who's our kind of marketing and pop culture maven. So Dawn and I have been agitating together, and I just learned so much from her and actually how to be political activist. And it's just a thrill to have her on, because if anybody knows California, she works with all the Tea Party groups. You know, this woman.
Dawn, you may not know this, but you have actually, you know this movie, Tour de Force, and you were on with me. Remember that night we spoke with a lady who played? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember you told the lady, I think her name was Jane Kelly. And by the way, we're going to do another show on that movie. The fellow who played Obama is going to be joining us sometime in the next 30 days, Leslie. We're trying to make that arrangement. But anyway, remember you told the lady that Tour de Force could become a cult movie? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess how they're promoting it now?
As a cult favorite, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Orestes has been sending out these little banners in Facebook, and he calls it a cult favorite. And I was sitting there saying, well, where did I hear that before? Oh, Dawn came up with that. So you've inspired Orestes on that movie, Dawn. That's pretty good.
Good. Especially the fact that that movie now seems like it can come true that much quicker.
Yes, that movie all of a sudden is a lot more relevant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was relevant before, but the frightening way the movie plays out is starting to look a little bit too close to reality.
Right, but you know what? The only thing that disappoints me is that I was hoping, I told Orestes that I was hoping that, you know, if Romney won, if he won the election, that I could play Romney, because we wanted to have me play Romney and Leslie was going to play Sarah Palin. So that was going to be the next movie.
You know, it would have been glorious, too. Okay, well, we're 2016 people.
Yes, we're going to have to put up, I mean, I was ready to play Romney, and we were going to have, you know, Leslie play Sarah Palin. We had it all set up. And
well,
then,
you know, it doesn't mean you can't go ahead and make that movie anyway. I mean, you know, look, Obama's playing a president now.
Right, that's right. That's exactly right. So that's something to look forward to, Leslie. We make a movie together. How's that?
That sounds well. That you know, that may be the only way I earn money in the upcoming Obama, you know, economy. So
well, you and lots of other people, believe me, it's not that easy these days. But yeah, it is this. You know, I am concerned about all these taxes, and then we'll get to California in a minute, but this cliff, I guess, that they're talking about, all these taxes coming up in the month of December, that we've got to do this and we've got to do that. I mean, I'm really concerned. I hope they get their act together and do something, because some tax increases are going to really come our way, Leslie.
Well, you know, Silvio, this is what the American people voted for. So I say let her rip. Let her rip with taxes. Let her rip with every other, you know, inane plan that, you know, apparently Bonner has no backbone, because he seems to be just aces with Obamacare now. So, you know, let her rip. People made a choice, and this is the hand we're dealt, and I think people just ought to be wise and start preparing for the fat tax footprint they'll now bear.
Right. Well, I have a little picture that I've already got ready for my Facebook cover page, you know, at the top, and it says, "Don't blame me. I voted for Romney."
Yeah. You know, at least the good news is we'll have plenty to opine about, and I think we are going to get very creative with the graphics and the video.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Dawn, I got to get to a couple of things here with you ladies before we get to California. But the Hispanic vote was obviously a factor in this election, frankly, a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't so much that they turned out in large numbers. It's just that, well, we didn't turn out 3 million people. So that made the Hispanic vote a little bit, I mean conservatives, didn't turn out. But there's a very interesting article by Heather McDonald, and I sent you ladies a copy of that today, saying, you know, why do Hispanics vote Republican? And there's a connection, or don't vote Republican, there's a connection to California in the article. And basically what it says is that Hispanics get a lot of social services, and there in California they do. They get a lot of social services. So when a politician like Obama comes along playing Santa Claus, that attracts them to that kind of politician. And so, you know, it's not about immigration reform. That's not why they vote for the Democrats. It's because of these social services that they've become very dependent on, particularly in California, Dawn.
Yeah, I read the article, and I wish I were surprised. I'm not. I think it's probably based on absolute reality that we would love to think that Hispanic voters would be more inclined to vote for a more conservative candidate based on family values. But frankly, for most of us, it really does come down to gas in the car and food on the table. And if you're Hispanic and you're living in, you know, what you think is near poverty, and in some places truly is, some of our Central Valley, Mendota, was looking at 30% unemployment. Calusa County in California has had over 20% unemployment, and the Imperial County on the border has 30% unemployment. So, yeah, I'm thinking that's probably accurate. If it's the thought between putting food in my kid's mouth or not, I can completely see that.
Well,
it's unfortunate, but yeah, that's the reality.
No, that's exactly right. And food stamps are, and I didn't realize this, okay? I have, you know, you learn something every day. But food stamps per capita are very high with Hispanics, you know, lots of Hispanics who are getting food stamps, and in California in particular. I mean, that's a big factor out there. You know, either one of you can come back on that, Leslie or Dawn, but that's a big factor out there.
Well, we're still one of the few states left that has lifetime rolls for, you know, any welfare. We don't seem to require anything as far as residency proof or citizenship proof for social welfare programs, and because there are no limits to what we will give people, there are no boundaries. You know, why don't I don't know why any of us are surprised, frankly, because why wouldn't people sort of take advantage? If this was someplace else, you wouldn't be terribly surprised. And because of the economy in California getting worse and worse, I fear that's just going to go up. I mean, you know, manufacturing and other jobs hemorrhaging out of California, which will just continue now with an increase, this latest tax increase by the governor, you know, that number is going to jump. I mean, people go out of their way, actually, to move to California because of the welfare that's here.
Right, and but you've got the wrong people leaving and the wrong people, you know what I mean? The producers are leaving and the people who want benefits are coming in. And that's
oh, absolutely. Well, see, not, you and I see, and Leslie see that absolutely clearly. The governor and those do-gooders in Sacramento, not only do they not care, but it isn't relevant to the equation.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, we're going to get into California in a second, ladies, but let me bring in a gentleman that Leslie knows quite well, a gentleman she introduced to me, and that's Aaron Clary, and he's our sponsor here for the second segment of the show. Aaron, I'm here with two ladies. I need you.
Well, why would you ruin that ratio? I wouldn't call you if I had two ladies. I'd pray to God and thank them. That's what I would do.
Okay, well, get off the air then. Leave it to me then. No, but we're talking. By the way, Aaron, I want to tell you that article that you wrote that Sylvia Guzman went ahead and translated that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was great.
Yeah, she's going to be distributing that here in Texas. She did a great job. I feel bad for her because I know she was crushed with the election results as everybody else was, but she's doing a wonderful job here. You've got a book called Worthless. Tell us about it.
Well, the book Worthless, it's written for young people in mind, specifically high school age kids and college age kids. And it's a guide on how to avoid getting a worthless degree. So it goes through all the different major type of degrees. It doesn't cover all the degrees because they keep creating new ones like puppetry and unicorn studies. I don't know what they're coming up with now, but it goes over the major ones, what's worthwhile, what's not worthwhile, and goes through some of the economics of the labor market as to why certain degrees command a higher salary than others. And so the kid that does read this is going to go into college choosing a degree with a lot more wisdom and information than some of his peers and contemporaries, and hopefully not end up like a lot of his peers and contemporaries where they have $70,000 in debt and nothing to show for it except more debt and crippled financial future.
Right. Let me let Leslie get in, too, because, Leslie, I know you've read the book and
mm-hmm.
you've shared the book with a lot of people. It is really a fascinating book, isn't it?
It's a wonderful read. Aaron's humor just shines on nearly every page, which makes the book really just very fast reading and entertaining as you're getting a lot of really good data and really appealing to the young people. And I'd like to take this time to just do my college insurrection bit with the feature of the day that highlights why Aaron is so correct in his book. I'm covering a story. I'm doing some investigation. There was an event at the University of Mississippi on Tuesday night where some college students who were obviously conservative, protested the results of the election by igniting an Obama-Biden sign. Not the flag, just burn a sign that's Obama-Biden. And yet, you know, it was portrayed by one of their student journalists as a race riot. And she ended up tweeting and following stories about how all these people assembled and there were a lot of racial slurs. And her name is Margaret Ann Morgan, again, out of the University of Mississippi School of Journalism. And that report was picked up on. And all of a sudden you have a bunch of just college-age kids burning a political sign, making a political statement, being made out to be a bunch of Yahoo racists. So that's our feature today, proving that journalism degrees are entirely worthless.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, isn't that sign three-fourths white? I'm just wondering. It's against whites is what it was. It was an anti-white protest, yes?
You know, it's a bunch of drunk college kids. There was a mix. If you take a look at the video, you can't hear any racial slur. I'm digging deeper. I'm going to talk to the police tomorrow. And it looks like, and there were blacks in the crowd, and they didn't seem to be particularly bent out of shape.
That's the media. You know how it goes. They're going to create a story where there isn't one, so it's not really
a surprise. there's also a propensity to connect any criticism of Obama with racism. And that's something that I think is very unfair because you cannot crack a joke about this man. If they had done that about George W. Bush, I mean, if a bunch of black kids, for example, at a black college had done that to George W. Bush, would they be calling that racist? I don't think so.
No, they'd be calling it young. It would be calling, you know, freedom of speech and diversity.
Well, that's it.
And, yeah.
That's it. They'd be calling it freedom of speech and so on. They certainly wouldn't be calling it racist. So there is a double standard. I mean, I kind of run into that all the time. You know, when I was debating immigration down here on TV, I mean, I've had people call me, racista, which is racist in Spanish, and I never quite understood, you know, why that was, but if that's what the left does. If they disagree with you, you're automatically a racist.
That's stupid or evil.
That's it.
Or greedy. That's another
thing. Or greedy or, well, of course, we're talking to Captain Capitalism here. You know, greedy is something he likes.
Oh, greed's great. That's what everyone's greedy. Don't let anyone else tell you. It's human nature. It's whether you resort to theft and robbery, then it's illegal. But if you're just
right
for yourself,
but if you call it
that
distribution, you can get elected president.
Yeah, that you can.
You're exactly right about that. I mean, crony capitalism. You know, you can call it that too. But Aaron, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have a link to your book on the show information, but you can get this on print and on Kindle, right?
Correct. You can get it on Amazon, both print and Kindle. Print is $13, and then Kindle is only $5. And you compare that to just one college textbook that you're going to fork over $300 for because the professor wrote the book, is going to make even more money on you. It's going to be a better investment than any college book you ever buy.
Right. And Kindle, for those of us who are still in the 17th century, Kindle is when you download it digital, right? You can put it right into your computer. Okay.
Correct. You download it into your Kindle. The Kindle is the device, and it's Kindle files. Yes.
All right. My sons are bringing me up to speed on that. on that, Aaron. I'm a little slow when it comes to the technical stuff. Not that old. I'm just a little slow when it comes to the technical stuff. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, Aaron. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Leslie and Dawn right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. And before we get back to the ladies, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Now that the election is over, I have a very good friend in Miami who wrote a book. He's a professor in Miami who wrote a book about Cuban Americans. It's called The Legacy of Cuban Americans in the United States. And we're going to start doing one show every week where we take a Cuban American and we talk about him. And I'm very excited about this show. It's going to be a great show to learn about the influence of Cuban Americans here in the United States. And the very first topic that we're going to deal with, our very first show is going to be about Roberto Santiago, who was a Cuban-American who rose to the chairmanship of Coca-Cola. He passed away recently, but he was the chairman of Coca-Cola, which is an amazing position, and a brilliant man, an absolutely brilliant man. So that's going to be our first show is going to be on that particular person. And every week we're going to be talking about, there's like, you know, he's got about 1,000 examples, so we got lots of material to talk about that. He wrote a book called The Legacy of Cuban Americans, and it's a fantastic book, and we'll be, as I say, featuring a guest every week. Let's get back to Dawn, who must be sitting there wondering when we're ever going to bring her back. But you are back now, Dawn. Thank you for being so patient.
No problem. Just listening.
All right, and of course Leslie as well. All right, finally, ladies, I'm sorry that I took so much time, but let's get into California and what happened out. I mean, you had a lot of. I remember Leslie, you told me before there were a lot of initiatives or ballot measures, I guess. Mm-hmm. And how did it all turn out?
Well, I'll let Dawn explain. I'm too broken up.
The two major issues this go-round were a tax increase, Prop 30, which was to further accelerate the leaving of small businesses and people out of California. So if you make $250,000 or more in the state of California, which, by the way, in the state of California is not wealthy, so if you're making that, we've just increased your income tax. There was also, by the way, they term these all as temporary taxes. Has anybody ever seen anything attached to government that was temporary? It also raised our sales tax again.
What is the sales tax in California? Just I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm curious. How much is it?
I think we went up a quarter of us. And the fun thing about California is that different counties have different sales tax. So in the city of San Diego, we're at 7.75% for sales tax. And it just went up another 0.25%. So there are other cities in San Diego south of us. It's actually another percent higher, so it's 8.75% for sales tax. People will actually leave Chula Vista and come into San Diego to buy things because they save money. So that has gone up. And for some stretch of the imagination, nobody seemed to be, oh, and by the way, the fun part about this tax, too, is it's retroactive to January of this year. So, you know, that's going to be fun for all those people that didn't bother reading the small print when they voted. So the fun thing about this is nobody seemed to equate that the number of expected revenue, which is something like $50 billion, is the same amount of money that our governor needs for his high-speed rail boondoggle. So everybody thinks that this is going to the schools and higher education. The interesting part is they really had colleges out there stumping against this for this proposition to raise this tax because they were told that it was going to cost college students more in tuition. But nobody bothered to pay attention, especially students or parents evidently, to the fact that as they keep raising tuition and passing things like the DREAM Act in California, those that are the powers that be within the college system actually, just a few years ago, gave themselves a 10% pay raise. So evidently in the state of California, it's not about frugality or fiscal responsibly spending, even in college. It's just about everybody covering their own butt. So now they have carte blanche. They've raised the income tax. They've raised the sales tax. For 7 years, by the way, that's how temporary this is. It's supposed to be for 7 years. The other initiative we had was Prop 32, and the only thing we were trying to do with that was take away the mechanism that unions use to get PAC money. So it was going to no longer allow them to automatically take out of a government employee's paycheck the money that gets funneled to the union's PAC. Seems like a pretty simple proposition. They should have to go, unions should have to go with hat in hand to their members, just like everybody else does. And we know we're looking at $90 million a year, easy, that gets funneled into union PACs. And we know that 96, 97% of the money is used for Democrat candidates and or issues. So that was defeated, largely thanks to who? Oh, yeah, the unions, yeah.
Wow, that's
so there you are. That's California in a nutshell.
That one about the public sector unions, that's the one that Leslie had written a great deal about, wasn't it, that one, Leslie?
Yeah, that was a real heartbreaker. And as a deluxe extra bonus for people in San Diego, we rejected essentially the Scott Walker type, Carl DeMaio, in favor of a lunatic, progressive, you know, just odious, Bob Filner. So he's our new mayor.
Well, what's so interesting is that we couldn't elect a gay Republican as mayor. They gave us one of the worst Democrat legislators that D.C.'s ever seen as a mayor. So that was really kind of fascinating to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, the good news here in Texas, we had a horrible presidential night, but as far as the local politics, it went down fairly well. You know, Ted Cruz was elected to the Senate. The Republicans have a majority in the state legislature, the state Senate. I mean, in that sense, it was a good night for us here. But I feel bad for you guys in California.
Well, let me add to the badness that we're experiencing as you've rubbed all your goodness in Texas in. The Californians, in their wisdom, also gave us a two-thirds plus California Senate. So they can now raise taxes pretty much at will without the vote of the people.
I think it's been great, frankly. I really do. I wish I was really broken up about this. I wish I could feel bad like Leslie. But frankly, in California, this is the best thing that has ever happened to us, because somebody told me 5 years ago that California is a little bit like, you know, an alcoholic in the sense that the spending is such an addiction for Sacramento, and it's all about paying off special interest. And they will just keep spending. And nobody, meaning the citizens, is ever going to even remotely consider that a bad idea until it becomes so bad in California that it has hit the rock bottom. And frankly, this is California's fiscal cliff that we're going over now. And I think if there's ever going to be a time where people finally wake up, the reality of this next year, especially added with the Obamacare taxes and Tax-Mageddon coming, you know, this is great because nobody's going to wake up until they see it in their wallet.
Right. Now, you also mentioned something, Leslie, about what was it? You had written something about something about a food tax, or
that's the good news. At least, and that's probably the only. There's two silver linings in election results. The first one being Obama can't get reelected again. God bless the 22nd Amendment. The second one is that Californians rejected the requirements for genetically engineered food labeling, which means our food producers don't have to incur the expense and regulations and restrictions related to that horrendous balance.
Which seems kind of moot because none of us can afford food at this stage anyway.
I think we're going to end up shooting and harvesting our own at this point, so we don't need labels.
Right. Everybody's going to have a little garden, right, growing their own stuff. But I guess, so, you know, I'm not trying to bring misery into your situation, but it was not a good day then out there. You know, I mean, it was really a bad night, aside from the national stuff.
It wasn't completely bad, really. Laura Richardson, Congresswoman Richardson, didn't win her election, and frankly, that just made me dance a jig, which is great, because that's one less power, quote-unquote, hungry Democrat. And we had two people from California's legislature that we sent, Republicans, that we sent to D.C., so Valadeo and LaMalfa.
Okay, so you picked up two Republican seats, huh? Is that what you mean?
Actually, they were districts that changed in the redistricting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was good, seeing good, quote-unquote, Tea Party people go. We retained the few people who were really good conservatives in our assembly. We retained those, and that was not easy. And so that was good. I mean, in California, we have a completely different metric for success. So evidently, just even some status quo in California is a good thing because it means that it's not complete doom and gloom. But we have people all over the state that won local offices. We have a guy that ran for city council, a Tea Party guy in Fresno, and he won. We really did. I think there were two races where there wasn't somebody challenging the incumbent, which really is huge in this state. When you look at the fact that we have 80 assembly people and we have 39 senators, that's a lot of people running for office. So the fact that we did put people up against these incumbents is really big in this state, and it means that we are still being able to find good conservatives to challenge the status quo. And frankly, that's a win in California.
Right. Let me ask you ladies a question, because I think a lot of people in California think that they're going to get bailed out by the rest of the country. I mean, but I don't see that happening, because we don't really have the money nor the disposition. I mean,
we're going to get Obama. When you come, we're going to get the Obama stash. That's what we're getting. We just elected Obama. He's got the stash.
And
you
actually,
mean like the Obama
conservatives
phone?
In the state, they don't want a bailout. We never have. We think that's the worst possible thing you could do because that's like giving a bottle of booze to the alcoholic.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But what I'm saying, many of the people who voted for this stuff, I mean, they had to know that it was counterproductive.
Okay, like I told you, Sylvia, from the beginning, you all in the remaining 56 states have got to decide what you're going to do to punish California when we go bankrupt. And it might be breaking up our state into three separate entities so we don't have the electoral power that we do. But you guys better be thinking of it because that time's looming on the not-too-distant horizon.
And what – and, if, you know, it's funny. I remember the first time I had you on the air, Leslie, back in June, you mentioned that same thing, that you know, we were going to have to, you know, decide what to do with you guys. I can tell you that I don't think they have the votes in Congress to bail out California. I really don't think, even Democrats, I don't think that there will be the votes to bail out California. So you might have to hit bottom on your own, which, as Dawn was saying, that might be the best thing.
Yeah, but you forget that we're the last bastion, one of the last bastions other than maybe New York, of absolute, the complete petri dish of liberal behavior is here. So I think, you know, we've already had our governor go to the president with hat in hand. That's how we got some money for the beginning of the choo-choo debacle. And I think if they want to keep those 55 votes happy, they're going to scarf over some money. There's no doubt.
Well, they may, but I see that turning into a real battle.
Well, you know, but, you know.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I tell you, I feel bad for you ladies because these tax increases are not going to be good for the state. And I mean, we love to see taxpayers come into Texas, but at the same time, not at the expense of hurting California. I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem right to me that legislators and people would commit suicide the way they're doing out there. I mean, I don't. That's what it looks like to me. They're just killing themselves.
Well, you know, they.
I hear tell that there's talk that Nancy Pelosi may lose any power control she has left in the House. If that's true, hooray. You know, for us in California, if you're a conservative in California and you're the least bit politically aware, you get that this has to happen. That California, I don't know if it's the weather, it's the ocean, what, but Californians just have this idea that everything's going to be okay as they go ahead and vote for a tax increase. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's the best possible thing that could ever happen to us because we're stuck in this revolving door of Democrat power and control, and it's sort of like giving your kid the keys to the kingdom and saying, "Great, you know, you want to be an adult? Here's all the responsibility. Here's the bills, and oh yeah, you got to go get a job." And you know, it's not nearly as much fun when you're totally in control because now there's nobody else, you know, to blame. So
right.
They're truly on their own. So whatever happens to the economy, it's going to hurt every Democrat in the state.
Right, and that's the same with the national situation. I mean, Obama owns this thing now.
Absolutely. He inherited a heck of a mess, didn't he?
That's right. So, I mean, he owns it now. And, you know, whatever happens, it's his problem. So we can all sit back and watch the show now. I mean, that's really all we're left to do. But Dawn, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Absolutely wonderful to have you. We got to do this again. It was really a treat that Leslie invited you. I think it's great to talk to you. You're such a knowledgeable lady. It's just a lot of fun to talk to you.
Well, I think we're going to
love
to have
coming
on
here and being with you and Leslie.
Yeah, I think we're going to have her on, you know, for regular California updates because you guys are going to want to know how we're doing out here.
No,
we're
that's
all
it. That's
tent.
It. Yeah, Dawn's going to be bringing us these updates maybe once a month or so, Leslie, just to kind of tell us what's going on out there because I think a lot of people do want to find out.
Yep. Yeah, I think.
Oh, they don't have to wait. I mean, the good thing now, Sylvia, really, I think this is the best part of Tuesday's results is that you guys don't have to wonder what California is like because pretty soon the other 49 states are going to look just like California.
Well, that would be Yeah, I hope not, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Hopefully we can preserve our little Texas a little bit longer, but, man, that's pretty scary what's happening out there. But, Dawn, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a real treat. I always enjoy having you on.
Well, thank you, Sylvia. I always enjoy coming on.
Thank you so much. And, Leslie, you've got to tell me about next week.
Well, next week I've got to confirm that we are going to have another cooking show, but this time featuring Russian recipes with the Soviet kitchen. We'll learn a little bit about Russia, a little bit about Russian cooking, touch base with Eastern Europe a bit, and just have a little fun before Thanksgiving.
Now, are we really going to call it the Soviet kitchen?
That's what they call their website. So,
really? That's an interesting name because... I would have thought that of course Soviet, the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason I would have thought that was it. So next week we're doing the Soviet kitchen.
Yes, that's what we have on tap. And then I just arranged it. We're having the Sarah Bond, our co-founder,
yes,
couldn't quite make it because her son was a bit of a challenge,
sure,
tonight. We feel that she and I feel that the pop culture was neglected by the GOP, and we are reaping the rewards of not really, you know, effectively, you know, engaging in pop culture and activities related to that. So, and she is, you know, kind of an expert on that subject, being an artist, you know, dancer, and, you know, pretty, you know, with it in terms of what's going on with the social media. So we're going to have her on to talk about that, and then in early December, we have Barry Jacobson on doing a little bit non-political work with his Age of Arthur series. So we've got some good programs lined up in the next few weeks.
We sure do. That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, I'm fascinated with the Soviet cooking. I'm really looking forward to that. Is there a special dish that you can give us a little hint on?
You know, I must admit, no, I did not get a chance. I was going to ask them specifically if they've got Thanksgiving recipes they could recommend, because Thanksgiving's the week after. So
right,
we will see.
They don't have something like, you know, the Siberian dish or you know, the maybe St. Petersburg, you know, fish or something like that. You know, some nice little title like that, like the Ukraine pig or something, you know. That would be, it's fascinating. I mean, I'm looking forward to that show.
Yeah, no, you know, your Cuban show, you know, is just gave me amazing ideas for cooking. Yeah.
And we're going to do another one of those, by the way. I told the two ladies that we're going to do another one of those. See, now that the election's over, I mean, I guess the good news about the election being over is all kinds of things that we can now talk about. Because before we were all so focused on the election and so intense about the election, but I think everybody needs a break from that right now. And everybody just, you know, wants to see something else, to hear something else. So, as they say, you know, there's lots and lots of opportunities for us to talk about lots and lots of things over the next few months. And I'm looking forward to your creativity there, Leslie.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to mix it up with current events, college insurrection updates, and, you know, cooking and dance. So
That's it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Leslie, thank you so much, as always. It's a lot of fun to talk to you. My best to you and to your family, and we look forward to next week.
All right. Sounds good, Sylvia. Thanks so much.
All right. Good night.
Night.
Well, that's going to do it for tonight, folks. Hope you enjoyed it, talking about California. It was a lot of fun. It's always good to catch up with the Golden State, and we did that tonight. Good night, everybody. This is Sylvia Canto in Dallas.